So he got a lot of the information just from the paper and...
Right. And well, mostly radio.
Mostly radio.
Right.
Okay,
And I have to say this, at this time now my father, like, Huyun is the friend or relative where we got a lot of information in the past. He cannot contact with Huyun or Hunan, all of his political leader anymore. He's lost now. I guess it's my father facing a great, what's the word? Difficult adjustment when Huyun is not there anymore, and he don't have any support, political support from the people he thought he could depend on, and my father was going a great change too.
What was being said about Huyun at this time, from what you recall?
A lot of people, in the news and all of this, Huyun was out of the picture, and by the time he would disappear, seeing the regime say that all of these political people were persecuted. And my father lost a lot of hope because he cannot contact with these people anymore. And he did not have a clear knowledge of where they are. I still remember that he was still optimistic even though he lost contact with them, but he was optimistic enough to know that these people were still alive during this time.
Excuse me, this is during Sihanouk's time?
Sihanouk and Nunmo. This is right coming to Myanmar.
Did your father ever try to get in touch with him? I mean through any means, through relatives or
He did. He get to the point where he doesn't concerned enough about his business. At this time, my father almost lost his business now because of the change he's facing. And my mother did not like that very much because after what's happening, after Huyun went into the jungle, my father's business started. My father lost interest in making money because he had to face this difficult adjustment himself, and my mother didn't like that very much. And at the same time, it means that my elder sister had to start working, and was lucky enough that my elder sister had enough education to get the job. The two of them had enough education at this time to get this source to support the family, rather than my father had to make the money.
So your father was tremendously discouraged then?
Right. Discouraged is the word. Or lost interest. Depressed too, not just because the people he hoped, whom he can depend on, is not there anymore. This is a big political change and political movement. And he lost the contact with all these people.
So this is, as you had said, this is like from CNX time into Lon Nol's time.
Right.
I see.
But the business that my father has is slowly die down or die out. The word, I'm not sure that's the word.
Right.
But to the point that my father didn't care about making any more money, he this time now he spent most of his time with the radio and the newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
And my sister had to make all the money. And again, my two sisters, back to what we talked earlier, my two sisters still carry on this education value, educational value for the family too. And when I look back now, I don't know what really happened that made my father lost all of his interest in
mm-hmm.
supporting the family. He was not irresponsible at the time. He still is responsible for the family, but he's not making money yet to the point that he's supporting the family totally. He still keep an eye on the children and make sure they have enough food to eat and have enough clothes and enough money to go to school and all of this. You know, he's not irresponsible despite the fact he's lost interest in making more money.
Okay. Let me ask you this. You went to, when your family was in Phnom Penh, said that they had moved to Phnom Penh, were other relatives nearby? Did you have other relatives nearby in the section, in the...
In the section?
Yeah, in your neighborhood. or within the city.
Yes. My father was not the first generation to move to the city. Most of the relatives who lived in Phnom Penh for a long time until my father, my parents moved to Phnom Penh, were from my mother's side. My father has a lot of relatives, but most of them make their living in the farm. But on my mother's side, most of them were educated. And since my mother was born only 15 minutes away from Phnom Penh City, so the process of coming to Phnom Penh is closer than my father's side. So there's a lot of relatives in Phnom Penh, and my mother was not the first generation who moved to Phnom Penh. I don't know the second or the third, but she's not the first. And we came and we had... we got a few relatives in Phnom Penh that we moved to.
And you saw them
right.
Pretty often.
Right. Especially when I was growing up, I have relatives that I can visit, and that's my brother and sister usually take me to and visit them. They come and visit me. And again, most of these relatives are on my father, my mother's side.
Right. Well, your fathers were still out in the country then.
Most of them. There's only a few in Phnom Penh from my father's side. Very few. But on my mother's side, a lot. There's a lot of them were educated too.
On your mother's side?
On my mother's side. And again, Hu Yun was on my mother's side, not my father. But
okay, I'm going to ask you a sort of difficult question here. I'm going to ask you to describe what it was like for you to be in your classroom. Your classroom setting.
What, now, is this in primary school or
no,
after primary?
After primary school.
Dual
slide prey.
Okay.
What kind of subjects you learn? Just, you know, what happened, you know.
The first year I was there, it's quite an experience. You know, after passing the exam, it was summer vacation, and then after the summer vacation, I went back to school, and it was new school. The setting inside, okay, the setting of the whole school first. The school itself built of brick, cement. Outside schools, there's a fence with a iron pole, and inside the school there's a little garden right in front of the administration's building. The administration building itself is not that big. The school consists of five buildings. Each building was three story. And the first year I was there, I was put in a second story building, one of the buildings. And the setting inside the classroom, we have, let me see, I'm trying to remember the number of students. The first year I was there, don't quote me on this, it's probably 30 or between 30 and 40 students inside the classroom. The classroom itself is not so much different from the classroom in America. The professor has his own desk, and behind his desk is a blackboard, just like other classroom. But we don't have air conditioning. This is a brick cement building, but there's no air condition. It's open, windows are open 24 hours. Now, during the class sessions, the windows are open. You don't have any, again, there's no air condition.
Well, what kind of subjects did you learn?
Okay, the subjects we learn, let me see, what's the first year? Cambodian language, one. It's like literature, Cambodian literature. And in literature class we do, it's not literature yet, it's like composition, writing English, and like right now we take an English class in high school, it's just like that. Mm-hmm. It's not into deep literature, but it's in the process of going to literature, we're writing essays, short essays in a Khmer subject. That's for liberal study. For science, we have physics, not my first year, I don't have physics in my first year yet, but what we call this, social science?
Social science.
Right, right, this social science in school, where we learn basic concepts of science, physics, chemistry, and biology, and usually...
I think that's general science.
Right, general science.
General science, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
General science. And we have that Khmer, general science, and math. Oh, everybody learns math. Even in Cambodian, we learn mathematics. Besides math. This is still algebra. I'm still learning algebra. Besides algebra, okay, we have Khmer, we have general science, we have math. Foreign language. at this time I have enough French, not to the point that I'm capable of speaking, but capable of making sound. When I say character, I can read. And again, we spend so little time learning foreign language, 2 hours a day. Two hours a week, learning foreign language. At my generation's educational system has changed. Even the Khmer language itself is being changed. And the foreign language, we have two choices. English and French. I guess we have two choice because American getting involved in Cambodia now,
yeah.
and we have two choice between English and French. Unfortunately, I was told to study French.
For your family?
For my family.
Oh. What was your favorite subject though? I mean, in all this, what did you enjoy doing most?
I still remember, I hate to admit it, but it's math. Mathematics is like come easy to me. My classmate, especially the friend the best friend I have who eat and play together, he's good in writing Khmer. And I myself want to be able to be good in study Khmer because it expresses the feeling. Math, I was just good at it. I don't know why.
You felt good about it.
I have enough confidence in math.
So. The teacher, was he really strict or did you ever see him, punish anybody or what?
At this level right now, punishment is not physical punishment anymore. It's not like in primary school. Again, even in my generation, teacher will allow to spank kids in primary school. But after I went to dual striker, I believe I don't know about the law if the teacher can spank students, but I don't remember seeing anybody being spanked for causing any problem. The teacher can talk to the parents when the kid has a problem. And usually, kicking out of school was even though it's what we now call, it's not called a serious mistake, but in Cambodia, because of value, a lot of small things can be considered a big mistake.
Yeah. Now, what I want to ask you is, were these the same teachers at Tulsa? Why pray? Were they the same ones that you saw demonstrating, or that were involved in this opposition?
No. I don't remember seeing any professor getting involved. I know that a lot of them getting involved secretly, but I don't see anybody. Any professor or teacher really open.
They were very discreet about it then.
Right. Usually the student and unfortunately the younger one too, who put in, can be seen. The professor kind of hiding what they were doing.
But all this was going on, how were you aware of it going on at, say, your school were, what signs did you see of this type of activity going on, say, at your school?
It's like close to the end of when things, all this happened, and when the awakening of the opposition's fall down to the student. It's close to the very end, this like 3 or 4 months before the fall of Lono.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good question. When he asked me how, you know, it's so obvious that all of a sudden everybody start talking about it, you know, it's like what you see in the news, in the TV news, and the next morning, it's just like that. It's not quite open, but everybody seems to realize what's going on. It's not like really open. It's not that open, because if it's that open, the government would destroy the movement before it could even happen. So it's very secret about the teacher or the professors getting more involved, or the student getting involved. But at the very end, when we talked last time, when the two educational ministers were assassinated, this is to the very end now, and all of a sudden, it's only in a few weeks, all of a sudden students start realize what's going on, and some of them got caught with the movement, and
was this at your school too?
There's a few activity in my school. Nothing to the point that the government worry. That's welcomed by Mina, Lise.
Where your brothers weren't.
Right. That's quite a drastic movement, because at the place where the two ministers were assassinated, and this like students were holding on campus for 3 days, if I remember correctly. 3 days in plenary, they were there.
They were camped out, like?
Right, on the campus.
What was their purpose? I mean, as far as...
I remember that they were protesting about the government being so corrupt. And the teacher was not too happy because the government did not value education. Enough, and the teacher was not respected. At this point, the war was closer, and education was not respected by the government anymore, because a lot of political leaders worry about the takeover more than the education at this moment now. And education, and the professor and the teachers did not get any respect from anybody at all. Not from the authority, the police. Not from any group at all, because people worry about the war more than education at this moment now. This is like 2 or 3 months or 4 months before the takeover.
And I think you told me last time, when was the last time you had gone to school? How far was that prior to the takeover?
A few weeks.
It was less than a month then.
Less than a month.
You were still attending classes.
Right. Oh, even after the assassination of two educational ministers, school reopened. Students were allowed to go back to school. But I believe it was under strict supervision from the government. I think a lot of teachers were not happy with loanals at all because of the corrupt government that he was controlling. At the same time, loanal make a he used this word stupid, but he did make a stupid move to marry a 16 half Chinese half Cambodian girl. And he was like 65 at this time, and that really upset the educational system, especially the people who value so much the education, like the professor and the teachers. And students themselves were not too happy. This is like the greatest news ever hit. the Lunov regime, because this is very stupid on his part, because the girl was too young for him,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of students learned that he was marrying this girl because of the girl's parents trying to control the government, and the girl's parents were Chinese. And this is a racial problem too. A lot of students do not like the Chinese control.
Mm-hmm. When exactly was this? Do you remember?
When he was married?
Yeah, when he got married.
Oh, I don't remember.
Were you at Tool Swipe, right?
Yes, I got the Tool Swipe right now.
That brings another question. When exactly did you start Tool Swipe Pray?
When exactly?
Well, not exactly, but...
72.
72?
72.
And you attended the Reptile Takeover. I see.
So
it was during that time.
Right. I was still considered a lower education too, you know, lower level education. Well, at the age of 15, what do I learn, you know, so low.
So, when you think back at these times, when you think back about these times, how do you feel about them?
Now that I look back, during this Tool Swipe Pray period, despite all the fact that we have fun as other students would have at this age, despite the fact that my family was supportive for me to go to school, I feel that we were in the wrong place to go to school because of the political upheaval in the country. The government was so corrupt, students themselves see education is just another way of getting from being drafted to go into the soldier. Students themselves, if they are caught on the street without the student ID, they could be thrown into the army truck and sent into the battlefield. Well, in training first and then into the battlefield. So going to college, going to school at this period, my brother especially, they go to school not because they see a bright future for them anymore. They see this is another alternative. It's not a complete alternative, but it's another alternative that they can get away from being drafted into the soldier. So, to look back from a government support in terms of educational system, students were not optimistic about learning. The war tearing the country apart, a lot of killing and starvation is in the backyard now. Students were quite aware of what's going on with the refugees who were from the countryside. I myself was quite aware of it because starvation is there. You don't have to go anywhere. It's being